she's still in the street. 9:36, back on the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO, online, KFYO.com. Send in your thoughts via email, chat KFYO.com, 770-5790, toll-free, 1-800-687-0790. Switching gears a bit, now talking a little Texas politics. Our good friend Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Chad, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it, as always. Quite a bit of news out there. Let's start off with something that came out this morning, Texas Tribune poll. I'm sure you've seen that out there. They are reporting, at least according to their poll, that Greg Abbott only leading in the single digits over Wendy Davis, though 20% of Texans that they polled still unsure about the race. Is it still too far out to really take anything from these polls?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, the campaign really hasn't taken shape yet, right? I mean, you haven't seen either candidate between Abbott or Davis begin to start, you know, advertising on television. You haven't really seen the campaign engage yet. And obviously you still have this this primary that has to take shape take hold on the Republican side between Tom Pawkin and Greg Abbott, which is something of a formality, but still has to occur and should be over on March 4th. So, you know, these polls, I think, at this point are not that instructive, particularly for the general election. But, you know, I think if you're in the Davis campaign, they probably do take a measure of confidence and encouragement from something like that. And I'm sure they'll use it to try and raise money.
Yeah, and as far as all the other statewide races go, it's sort of what you expect, right? It's just, and nobody knows exactly who they're voting for. That's what I take away from every, you know, from lieutenant governor all the way down. Everybody's just kind of, either they're not paying attention yet, or they just don't know much about any of the candidates, it seems.
Yeah, right. I mean, in campaigns, as long as you're able to raise your name ID high enough, you know, the poll that's taken when candidates have very low name IDs is just not all that instructive in terms of the ballot. It can be instructive in other ways. You can test messages. You can, you know, look and see what's on people's minds. But testing a ballot at this point before the candidates have begun to spend money on television, which would happen, I would think, in the new year, right in January, is just, again, not that instructive.
Yeah. Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, you've written before, I know, for the Statesman, you had an article that you talked about John Cornyn and about how you thought John Cornyn would go ahead and he would win re-election. You've got a story out today, and I know it's on MustReadTexas.com. It's from Politico. Texas Tea Party seeks Ted Cruz 2.0 in David Barton. And I guess there's a movement afoot to draft him into running against John Cornyn. How big of a threat do you really think that is? And do you think Barton would actually run against John Cornyn?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, Barton is someone who maybe your listeners aren't familiar with. He's a former vice chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. He is a very strong social conservative, really a social conservative leader, not just in Texas, but nationally. He's really pretty well known sort of as a national conservative leader and activist. But, you know, what's interesting is I think that if you look back at the Ted Cruz race, you know, a big part of why Ted was successful is that he had Club for Growth and Freedom Works engaged in spending money and advertising on television. And both of those groups are, you know, 95% or 100% focused on economic issues, not on social issues. And so if you think about it, you know, what's going to motivate those outside groups, you know, are those issues. And so running a social conservative against Cornyn when he's 100% on social conservative issues like pro-life and gay marriage and things like that, to me, doesn't seem like the best path if you're trying to win that primary. So I don't know if Barton's going to run. I know they're trying to draft him in. You know, he'd have to give up everything he's doing. It's very late to get into a federal race at this point because you have low hard caps on individual contributions of really $2,600 per person. So it's a very tough path. I know that some folks think Cornyn's vulnerable, but at this point I have trouble seeing that being a reality.
Yeah, I don't see it. He's taken a little bit of a hickey going against the tactics that Ted Cruz took, and I agree with the tactics that Ted Cruz took, but I don't see there being enough folks out there on the Republican side of things who would go against Cornyn just because of that. Plus, I think, wouldn't you see some kind of wink and nod from the Ted Cruz camp that, you know what, we need to run somebody against Cornyn?
Yeah, I mean, this is a dicey thing for Cruz, right? Because he has now said pretty formally that he is not going to get involved against incumbent senators. Okay, so that means he's not going to get involved in the, you know, primary in Kentucky or South Carolina or Texas, for or against, where some of these other conservative groups are getting involved, which means he'll only get involved in these open seat races or Democratic incumbent races. So, you know, Barton was a supporter of Cruz's. They shared a lot of supporters. There would be a sense that Cruz might prefer Barton to Cornyn privately, but we really don't know that. And so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of role, if any, Cruz plays if Barton does run, both because, you know, you can have this sort of implicit support of Cruz, but secondly, because, you know, Barton does have a history of saying a few things that are a little bit controversial. And so it's interesting to see whether Cruz is going to have to distance himself at all.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Matt, what else can people find on MustReadTexas.com? You know, big election day tomorrow.
Yeah, big election day. Everybody's watching the water amendment, Prop 6, $2 billion water fund. You also have a mayor's race in Houston that people are paying, you know, a lot of attention to. So those two things, I think, are most interesting to me. So obviously election day tomorrow across the state of Texas. I also thought that the Dallas Morning News had a couple of interesting stories over the weekend. One about George W. Bush and sort of the new life that he's had in Dallas, that's sort of away from politics. And then one last story I'll point to is New York Times' Jonathan Martin had an interesting story about the sort of growing rivalry between Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. So a lot of good news up on MustReadTexas.com this morning. You can sign up for the morning newsletter right there.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
Have a good one. Matt Mikowiak, you can go to MustReadTexas.com. I do that every single morning. Check up on some of the big stories of the day, and they get that morning email as well. I think it hit my phone at about 1:18 or so today. All right, we'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Texas statewide news, your thoughts as well on some of the statewide races. We'll be right back.